Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want it. Yeah. One more. Yep, yep, yep. All right. All right, come up on stage, contestants. I need you all to walk over here with me. We're going to stand right here, okay? Hey, let's give it up for our contestants. All right. Go ahead and stand right here. First thing I'm going to do is I honestly wasn't hungry for candy, so I'm going to give away my candy to... It's one Skittle, everybody. How do you feel?
Good.
That's right. And one Feastables bar. I'm sorry, everybody. I only had two. The offering was poor this day. Okay. So here we go. You guys are going to stand in the corner. We're going to go one at a time. The lights are going to go out, and then they're going to come on, and everybody's going to stay as quiet as possible while they do their thing. Okay. So here we go. Everybody over here, what is your name? You're going to begin.
Leanna.
Leanna. Okay. Go ahead and stand in the middle of the... Let's get the lights down completely. And in 5 seconds, the lights will come on. Nobody says a word.
Three, two.
I just want to be your besties. Please. Please.
Now a little golf clap. All right, you can go to the back of the line. What is your name?
Finn.
Finn, everybody. In 5 seconds, turn on. We need it dead quiet. I'm going to wait for it to be completely quiet. Shh. Five.
I'm a little too... Wait, what? I'm a little teapot. Short and stout. Here's my hand on. Out.
Keep going.
Take me over and pour me out.
Keep going.
All done.
Good job. Round of applause.
That's great.
Hey, what's your name?
Trib.
Trev. All right, lights out. Lights down.
Five, four, three. Quiet. Three, two, one.
Awoo! Woof, woof.
Ah!
Round of applause. Wow, that's good. I think for these last two, I'm not going to do the lights out. I think we're just going to have you come up absolutely quiet. Try not to respond. Guys, trust me, for the good of the team, try not to respond at all when they're doing it. It makes it more cringy. It needs to be dead quiet even when they're going about their business. Here we go. Shh. Whenever you're ready.
Stop, don't talk to me, loser, lame-o, wannabe, like, oh, totally. Stop, don't talk to me, loser, lame-o, wannabe, like, oh, totally, totally. Stop, don't talk to me, loser, lame-o, wannabe, like, oh, totally.
Well, a round of applause. All right. Here we go. Final act. I can't wait to see what happens. Man, I'm starting to like the cringe. It's quite enjoyable. Here we go. Completely quiet before I start. Shh. No reaction to what he's doing. Here we go. Shh.
Raw. Where my skibbity slicers at? Come on now. Yeah. Yeah. What the seg my arm up.
All right, round of applause. All right, guys, now we have to choose Who's going to be the next mayor of Cringe City 2.0? You guys line up right here. Here we go. Line up. And when I put my hand over their head, you guys are going to cheer as loud as you possibly can. Here we go. The teapot. Unforgettable. All right. I think it's between these three. I'm so sorry. You guys can go ahead and take a seat. That was ruthless. I did not need to do that. Oh, man. I don't know why I did that. All right. Here we go. Here we go. Trip. All right, I'm so sorry, but you need to head back to your seat. All right, you guys, come up to the front here. All right, guys, because we have some time, the finalists want to perform one more. So give it up for them. We're going to wait again until it's completely quiet. Eighth graders, specifically. Let's not respond when they do something impressive. Here we go. Trap, whenever you're ready.
I just want to be part of your symphony. So hold me tight and don't let go.
Yeah! Sorry, get the lights up. Lights up a little bit. We want to see their faces. Okay. Whenever you're ready, completely silent. Final act. Man, I'm going to miss this.
Why do you want to join the army? For my country!
All right. We're judging them over the course of both of their performances, not just one. Keep that in mind. Let's round it out here. Here we go. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, coming home with two Skittles. Trap! Congratulations. Hey, you did awesome. Way to go. Well, everybody, those were all very cringy. I don't know what it was the first time, though. It felt a little bit more awkward. But thanks for playing Cringe City 2.0 in construction mode for the next few months, okay? Guys, now we need to tell you about a little Wake World Record, okay? So if you do not recall, the Wake World Record for last week was the world's greatest leader hidden talent, okay? Not the world's most accurate turkey call. That was the week before. So, the winner is, can I get a little drum roll? Man, I wonder who it is. We had a ton of submissions this week, a lot of amazing talents. Nothing against anyone who didn't win. The winner was. The winner was. Richardson, second grade, seventh grade girls. Shh. The volume will surely come on at some point. Let's turn it up and watch it again. If you can't tell, Josie is literally singing with her mouth closed very loudly and accurately, and it's quite remarkable. I don't know anyone else who can do that. Maybe some other people in this room. I was very impressed by that. Guys, we also have an honorable mention. Good job, second grade or seventh grade, Richardson 2 girls. This is an honorable mention.
Oh, okay.
Yes! So,
That was.
I mean, did anyone know she could do that?
I'm gonna show them natural.
This was submitted just literally 5 minutes ago, and I just felt like it really needed to be a part of this. So, and it's perfect for a cringe city, don't you think? So, everybody, one announcement. We have the most amazing announcement. Trey Carr is getting baptized today. Yep. Give it up for the man. He is publicly proclaiming his faith in Christ, guys. This is a huge day for him. So I recommend that you guys go and visit the pond after this service to go and see him get baptized. Let's go. All right, without further ado, I have some friends that you need to meet, and their theme song, I think, is about to play.
Hello! Hello! My name is Joe, and this, my friend, I'm Schmo! And we are the Average Joes. Now, you may have seen us on TV or in the sky, but let me inform you of my superpower ability. Obviously, I am a superhero. Me, I have the amazing ability of teleportation, but only 1 foot at a time. What's that? Precisely. And I can fly just 1 foot at a time for half a second. Allow me to demonstrate. Be amazed. Well, you may be thinking, what are we doing here? My friend is 80 years old. Myself, I'm 800. I don't age. I know. But he's 80 and in need of retirement. We need a new sidekick. Without further ado, we need 3 volunteers. All right. It's been chosen. You may. So, the way that this is gonna work is my friend Schmo is gonna perform 2 of his famous attributes, you may say, and you must mimic them to perfection. Does that make sense? 1 at a time. But first, please introduce yourself to these civilians.
I'm Mason Roberts.
Mason.
Kate Fitzgerald.
Kate.
I'm Jacob.
And Jacob. Without further ado, the first thing that Schmo will show us is every superhero has a catchphrase. Mine goes like this. Can you do that for me? Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, on to the next round. Schmo? Every superhero was in need of respect. This is the superhero sign of respect. Repeat after me. Begin. Really sell it here, really sell it. Well, all right. Well, all right. We have 1 more round here. And what this round consists of is a little freedom on your end. My colleague here, Schmo, can no longer land in a superhero pose when he's flying high in the sky, about this high. When he lands, his knees just can't quite take it anymore. But we need y'all to come up with your best superhero landing and perform it. Oh no, Schmo lost his cape. Jacob, your best Kate? Oh. I think I've seen that. And last but not least, that was good. Good landing, good timing. Well, I think we have all the info we need. They're equally suited, but only one can be the new assistant. And by round of applause, we will decide. Schmo? All right. Well, 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 ladies and gentlemen, I think we have our winner. You may bestow upon, oh, the cape of superpowers, and in my other pant pocket, sometimes these masks really get in the way. These gummies will give him his new superpowers, which are, he now has the ability to run supersonic speed, but only with his eyes closed. You heard it here first. That's a great superpower. Well done.
That was so interesting. Look at those really, really not so helpful superpowers, but thank you guys for coming up on stage. We are about to worship everyone, and so I'm going to pray for us. Let's all just take a second before we worship to just quiet our minds, to quiet our hearts, to quiet ourselves, and I'm going to pray, all right? If y'all would bow your heads with me. God, thank you so much that we have a space every single Sunday that we get to come and remind ourselves of who you are and your love for us. We're so thankful for your kindness and faithfulness to us, even though we absolutely do not deserve it. God, I just pray that as we worship you in this time, that our minds would not be focused on ourselves or the people around us or what we're thinking about, but that it would be solely and completely about you and for your glory. We love you, God, and we're just so thankful to be here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hello. How's it going, guys? I am so excited to be here with you this morning. We're going to start off with a song that is an opportunity to just celebrate and praise the Lord for what he's done in our lives together. You know this song. I want you to feel free to worship however you please, whether that's clapping, raising your hands, turning around, whatever you want to do. We're going to worship. Would you join us now as we sing to our Lord?
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond.
The way when the walls are closing in, and when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another cross that bears the burden where another died for me. There is another in the fire. Sing all my dead. All my dead left for dead. Longer. this truth, there is no other name. There is no other name but the name that is Jesus. This is true. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come what may in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning. I know I will never be alone. Sing that. Come on. Oh, I know I will never be alone. The deep brother in the fire. You're standing next to me. We'll be another in the water. Holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding? How good you've been to me. I'll count the joy come every day. That is true, that no matter where we go, you are with us, that you are in control, that we have nothing to fear in this world, because we know that you are with us and care for us and hold us in your hands. So I pray whatever battle we're facing this morning, whatever things that we're going through and walking through right now, we know that we are not alone. You are with us, that you care for us. You have what's best for us in mind, even if we don't see that or feel that. So thank you that we can trust your word and your promise that you will keep and uphold and sustain us in your hands. We love you. We give you this time now. Amen.
Well, good morning, Wake. How are we doing? Oh, that was weak. We'll try again. Good morning, Wake. How are we doing? Let's go. Let's go. Okay, so if we have not met yet, my name is Ben Brown. As Jermaine announced last week, I am the new Wake men's coordinator. I used to be with Shoreline, the high school team, but now I get to hang out with you all, and I'm so excited. For that to be true. I truly believe what God is doing through y'all in this ministry. As we're jumping in, for y'all to get to know me a little better, I'll throw up a picture of me and my wife, Lainey. She's better than me, that's for sure. But here's a picture of us. This was a little over a year ago at our wedding. It was an amazing day, and it was so much fun. But she's the best. And so, now that we know each other, I want to tell you a story about when I was back in college. And so, back in college, what me and my friends like to do back in Arkansas is we would like to go to this place called the Kayak Park. And you may be wondering, Ben, what in the world is a kayak park? That is such a fair question. What we would do at the kayak park, or what it was made for, was for these kayakers. It was basically a river. And these kayakers would train on these rapids to learn different moves and tricks and whatever. And me, being a broke college kid, I didn't have a kayak. I didn't have a kayak to ride, and so what me and my friends would do is we would get an air mattress from Walmart. And what we would do is we'd buy that air mattress on our way out of town, we'd go to the kayak park, and then we would all pile as many people as possible onto this air mattress and ride it like a water slide. And you may still be confused, and again, that's so fair. So let me show you a picture of me and my friends there on at the kayak park. And so as you can see, I don't know which one I am in this picture, if I'm being honest, but I'm one of the guys on there. And you can see we're about to go down this rapid, and it's actually going to be so much fun. Because every time the air mattress, spoiler, you fall off. The air mattress is not a good substitute for a kayak. And so we would all go off the rapid, go into the water, and it would be so much fun. And maybe a little dangerous. So what we would do, and what was unique about these rapids, is the way that they would hit each other. They were so fierce that then you would hang under the water just a little longer than you'd normally expect. And so just a little dangerous. And with us at the kayak park this one day was my friend. We'll call him Nick. His name's not Nick, but, you know, we'll call him Nick. And so we were there at the kayak park one day, and Nick, we all know those people who can be just a little anxious. I mean, Nick, he always, in social situations, he might be stressed or thinking about the future or, you know, how is he doing in school and all the things. Like, Nick is always kind of an anxious guy. And so we went to the kayak park, and what I didn't tell you about Nick yet is that Nick is, he's kind of not the strongest swimmer, which isn't really ideal when you go to a dangerous kayak park, right? So my friend Nick, like, we were there, and we were all in the rapids, and we were all having a great time laughing and all the things, and Nick was just so stressed. He was saying, like, the rapids are so fast, and the air mattress is so weak, and why are we here? And it's like, bro, it's fun. Like, it's okay. Like, we're having fun, right? And I tell you all that just to say that I think in our own lives that we can tend to also have this anxiety or worry or things or this lack of peace opposed to everyone else's just seemingly doing great and thriving and having a good time, and yet we're super panicked and all these things when we just don't have any peace. And so in this sermon series at Wake, we've been talking through reputation, fruits of the Spirit, and this week we're going to be talking about peace. And so a literal definition of peace reads, that's the absence of war or chaos. So peace is the absence of war or chaos. And so we know that on a global scale, right? Like if there's wars or things like that or times of peace, we read about that in history. But I think that can also apply internally to our individual lives as well. And so where do we see peace in Scripture? So each week we've been throwing up Galatians 5, 22, 23, and 25, which says this. But of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And so what Paul, who writes Galatians, what he is saying is that peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And what does that mean? Well, fruits of the Spirit are words you can describe to for believers or Christians. Like they're adjectives of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They're all fruits or the result of an event, which then you may be wondering, well, what's that event? Well, the event is when you became a Christian or a believer. Like now, when you accept Christ into your heart, you are then marked, like you, people see these traits in you, all of the list that we just read, right? And one of those being peace. And so in Philippians 4, Paul talks about what it means to be content or to have peace in any situation. And before we read these two verses, Philippians 4, 11 through 12, let me remind you of a few details that happened in Paul's life. Paul was imprisoned on multiple occasions. He was beat countless times, almost to death. Once he was stoned and somehow survived. Three times he was shipwrecked in a drifted sea, and a few times he was adrift without food or water. And so if there was ever a brother who should not feel peace, it would be Paul, right? But yet, in Philippians 4, we see a different story. And it says this, Philippians 4, 11 and 12. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And so Paul did not look to his circumstances to inform his internal peace. And so first, we need to talk about where we often look for peace. And so number one, if you're taking notes, where do we tend to look for peace? Number one, where do we tend to look for peace? And I think often, if we're being honest, we can look in all the wrong places, right? One of my favorite shows that me and my wife like to watch is called Survivor. Has anyone ever seen Survivor? I'm watching this season. It's fantastic. Anyways, we love to watch Survivor, right? And in Survivor, if you're unfamiliar, they take about 20 Americans out to the jungle, and they just struggle. Like, they don't have a lot of food or shelter or anything or whatever. But in this competition, it's 20 people. It gets down to one because they're slowly but surely voting each other out of the competition one by one at this place called Tribal Council. And so you want to avoid Tribal Council, right? It's not a fun place for you to go. But there's an opportunity you have to still go to Tribal Council and be completely safe if you get this thing that's called a hidden immunity idol. And so the makers of the game will hide it all over the place. And it's so frustrating sitting at home because sometimes they'll hide this item that can keep you safe at camp. And you're watching it on TV at home and you're like, it's right there. Like next to where your pillow is the idol. And you're running off in the jungle. And it's like, it's so obvious. Like, how can you miss the item that's so obviously placed for you to grab and be safe and feel secure in the game? And I think oftentimes peace can be just as hidden in our lives, but we're looking at all the wrong places. And so to give you another example about me specifically, I dug up an old photo, and I'll preface this before, don't throw it up yet. I'll preface before, I have no memory of taking this photo, so do not judge me. I have no memory of taking this. I know it's cringy, but just for you, we'll throw it up. I know. That's why I prefaced. So that is me in eighth grade. Again, I have no idea who I sent it to. I want to know, how do I look? I just got a haircut, I'm pretty sure. Don't worry, it was before Lainey. Or else we probably wouldn't be married today. But that is pre-Lainey. I sent that picture to who knows who to want to know, how do I look? Like, I want to know, how do I look? What do you think about me, right? And here's the thing. I think the question of how do I look is a question we're all asking, whether we type it into a Snapchat or not. I think it's ultimately a question about our hearts. We're asking, how do I look? What do people think of me? Am I worthy of acceptance? Am I desirable to somebody? Do I measure up? Am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I funny enough? Am I athletic enough? Am I enough? Period. And let me say this. These are not bad questions to ask. Like, they're not bad questions to ask at all. But I think we're looking to all the wrong places to answer this question for us, and then we end up disappointed. So let me give you a few examples. So say I looked to the Dallas Cowboys to give me peace. Boo! Would I have that peace? Of course not, because they're poverty. They're so bad. They're so bad this year, right? I can't look to the Cowboys. Jerry Jones, what are you doing? Okay. Rein it back in. Okay, what about this? Hey, y'all, what about this, y'all? What if I look to my grades to give me peace? Would I have it? No. Because what if you do bad on an exam, right? Then you wouldn't have peace. What if you look to your parents or your siblings or something else? Would you have it? No. Hey, y'all, Or what about those posts you make on Instagram and refresh every minute to see how many likes you get, right? Or what if I had sent that Snapchat and then got left on read, right? I wouldn't have any peace. I'd be upset. I'd be bummed, right? But y'all, listen, bring it back in, because here's the point. And y'all, I don't want you to miss this, please. We can't ask the things of this world to give us what only God can. Please, please, please hear me. We can't ask the things of this world to give us what only God was meant to give us. We'll only end up disappointed, anxious, or worried. See, the world was never meant to give us peace, but it sure promises that it will. Jesus says it this way in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. See, the world and God both promise to deliver peace, but only God comes through. Isaiah 26:3 says it this way. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And so my second question for you all is, why can we have peace in the Lord? Number two, if you're taking notes, which I would highly encourage if you aren't today, in the future, why can we have peace in the Lord? Like, why is Isaiah 26:3 true, right? Like, why do we have peace if we keep our mind on the Lord? And I think we have to look to the book of Ephesians when Paul writes this in Ephesians 2:14. For he himself, talking about Jesus Christ, is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. And so if you're anything like me, you're thinking, well, what's the dividing wall of hostility? Like, what is the dividing wall that makes us hostile with someone else or something else? Well, the dividing wall is between us and God because of our own sin and our own trespasses. We see this in Ephesians 1:7. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood when Christ died on the cross. The forgiveness of our sins or trespasses according to the riches of his grace. See, the truth is that when we entered the world, we did not seek the Lord. But Jesus Christ came down from heaven, and all we have to do is accept him into our hearts, and we can start to feel the peace of God. Ephesians 2:19 says this, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, that's who you were before you knew Christ, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Do you know what that means? This is crazy, y'all. Do you understand what happens when you accept Jesus into your heart? When you accept him in your heart, you are adopted into God's family. Are you enough? Going back to our questions earlier, are you enough? You are enough to be in God's family if you accept Jesus into your heart. There is literally a room in heaven waiting for you with your name on it if you have accepted Jesus into your heart. And that will be your room for eternity. See, we're able to look past our momentary difficulties and trials when we remember that it's only temporary and momentary, right? Like, when we remember this, that if we are Christians, then we will be with God in heaven forever. And Revelation talks about how there will be no more weeping, nor crying, nor pain anymore. And so it helps us to experience pain now, because in the future we know that we won't experience it, right? And so in the Old Testament, it's a story that I think a lot of y'all are familiar with, but there was these three guys living in a country that did not fear the Lord. And they were told, hey, we need you to go to this ceremony, this event, where everyone's bowing down to the king as if he was God. And these three guys were like, hey, like, we're just not going to do that. Like, we believe in the Lord, and we won't worship your king. And the king was like, great, bring him up, and we're going to kill him. Not only are we going to kill him, we're going to toss him in this fire so they die a really painful death, right? And so anyways, they're thrown into the fire, and they went boldly. And y'all, this is when the story gets so, so good. Is that then, when they're thrown in the fire, you would think, this is so tragic, it's over, I'm so bummed, and all the things, like, man. What they're doing is then they just start walking around in the fire. Like, I don't even know if they were sweating. Like, they were just chilling. And the king looked in there. He's like, hey, what's the deal? I threw three guys in the fire. Why is there four guys walking around in that fire? Well, it's because, y'all, God was in there with them in the fire. We sang about it earlier. There's another in the fire, right? Whenever you go through trials, remember that there can be another in the fire with you too. If you accept Jesus into your heart, then he is with you, y'all. He's with you, he's with you, he's with you. God protected them in the fire, and they got to walk free. See, when we go through difficult situations in life, we can have another in the fire with us too. Thinking back to my story earlier with the kayak park, one thing that I should have told Nick was that going to the kayak park, I just knew that it was a little dangerous that we were going, and I was a lifeguard. So I'd gone through the class and the certifications, and I'd been a lifeguard many times, and so what I did when we went to the kayak park was I made it my chief goal to make sure that every one of my friends' heads, every head that went under the water, would come back up. Like, I made sure. I was always the last one up, and I made it my goal. And I wonder what that would have done for Nick's worry and anxiousness and anxiety. Like, I don't know if I'm going to come up. I'm stressed. Like, this, the rapids are really big. If he would have just known that I was there. Like, I was there to make sure that he was going to be okay. And I wonder what that would change for us day in and day out if we live knowing that we have God with us in every situation that we find ourselves in. Like, Scripture says that we don't have to fear anything in life, period, because our eternity is secure, and therefore our tomorrow is too. And so, number three, how do we live a life of peace? Number three, how do we live a life of peace? We need to know that peace with God creates in us the peace of God. So what does that mean? Well, again, the dividing wall of hostility, right? The biggest problem we face in life is that before we accepted Christ into our heart, if we haven't yet, then we are children of wrath. And then if we come to know the Lord, we become children of God. And so that's our biggest problem in life, right? And so peace with God creates in us the peace of God. And we remind ourselves of the gospel that Jesus Christ came and lived and died the perfect sinless life on our behalf, the life we couldn't live, and now go and be free. It just gives us peace, y'all. It doesn't mean that we don't face challenges, but it helps us in the midst of them. And so when you face problems this next week, first, I just want to speak to the Christians in the room and say, if you're a Christian, you can have peace today because you have peace with God. Rest in that. You can have peace today because you have peace with God. I promise. Like, keep your mind on the Lord and remember and know how good he is to us. Romans 8 says that if God is for us, who can be against us? We have nothing to fear, period. Remember Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. God is with you, and whatever you're experiencing is temporary. And for those in the room who aren't Christians, today could be the day that you experience true peace like you never have before from the Lord. It can. It can be today that you experience true peace for the first time by just accepting Jesus into your heart. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Today could be your day of salvation. And if that's you, will you please come talk to me or one of your small group leaders after this or just any of the adults in the room? Like, we would love nothing more than to talk to you. Friends, look to God for peace and you will find it. And just real quick, what would it look like practically for you to not walk in peace this next week? I'll just give you a few examples. This isn't a full list, but it might be this. Well, for you, it might be you throw temper tantrums when your sports team loses or you don't get your way. You'd be rude to your siblings or you'd be disobedient to your parents. What would would it look like practically to walk in peace this next week? You would be spending time in God's word, learning about him. You would obey your parents. You'd let your siblings play with you. And whatever comes your way, you wouldn't freak out because you remember whose you are. God's got you. He really does. And so to close, let's all read together Galatians 5, 22, 23, and 25 one more time. All right, here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against those things there is no law. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. All right, that's it. Wait, thank y'all so much. Have a great week of worship. Yeah.